Twitter at Yasser_Lester. It's YASSIR_LESTER. Same thing on Instagram. Hit me on the Snapchat. Send me them nudes. Like, I'm on there. There ain't no nude.
What were we talking about before? We were talking about, oh, your amazing Cosby tweet that must come out in the world.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Never putting it out. It'll be the greatest Instagram picture ever.
We've been talking for like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Amazing, by the way. Let's talk about you a little bit.
All right.
You were pretty brown to me. Like, I wouldn't, like, I'm curious as to, have you ever been identified, because you are, as Akash said, part black, part Muslim, but
yeah,
that Muslim
Middle
part,
Eastern.
Yeah.
Middle
Eastern. So,
oh, so
yeah,
brown. You are
yeah,
brown.
Yeah. My mom is black and my dad is Palestinian. And so growing up, like, I grew up in a few places. I was born in Miami, lived in Cincinnati, lived in Fresno, California, lived in the Bay Area for a minute, then lived in Georgia. I was like raised in Georgia for real.
All job stuff that kept you moving around?
Yeah. It's like my mom's work.
Oh, has Pops been around?
No, my dad bailed when I was like 6 weeks old. And then in 2014, I found out he had been dead for 10 years. I was like, that makes sense, you know. But that being said, so like me, my brother and sister, we have different fathers. Same mom, raised under the same roof. My brother's full black. And then my sister is half like, half Austrian, but we, for the sake of this, we'll say half white.
For the sake of the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn about Austria.
So in seeing us, it was never, in seeing like a picture of my family, to most of the world, it was never like, what are you mixed with? It was just like, your family looks different, but they just assumed we were all black, but just like had different fathers, okay. Right? So that's what I just dealt with. In Georgia, it was just, you guys have different dads, clearly, but you're black, he's black, she's black, your mom's black. And I moved to L.A., and then people know, and I'm not just saying this for the sake of y'all and being here, but people would be like, what part of India are you from? I'd be like, Georgia? Marietta, Georgia? You know, it became a thing. And then, like, it's like in Georgia, people aren't like, ooh, Yasser, that must be Palestinian. Like, yeah, no one cares.
I just now am thinking about the first time I met you. I think you were in an open mic at the Improv, and when you came on stage, I was like, what? Is this guy Indian?
Yeah.
What is going on?
People, like, people with a worldview assume I'm something else, you know.
No,
but yeah, like,
how do you identify?
I identify as black. Like, I mean, again, I wasn't raised around my father. My mom is black, my brother is black, my sister is black, my whole family, you know, I was raised with my mom's side of the family, they're all black. And like, again,
so your cultural identification was
black 100%. And like, right. Even then, like, now, it's like if someone asked me, it's like, I'm black. Genetically, yes, I'm half Arabic.
But identity doesn't always have to do with that.
Right, exactly. And so, I mean, I've just recently even started reading about, you know, just the Middle East and, like, trying to understand the region. I was like, I mean, just as a human, I think you should know. And then right. I was like, I mean, this is technically part of me, you know.
So, like, you've never even met or been in, or maybe you have, have you met or been in contact with any of your father's family?
No. Like, I mean, like, he disappeared and, like, that was, I believe most of his family is still overseas, like in Saudi Arabia
or
something.
They know you exist?
Maybe. But I'm also okay if they don't. Like, it's like one of those things that, like, the best way I can describe it is if I, you know, went out to the street right now and a guy walked up to me and was like, I'm your uncle. That would be no different than a guy who's actually my uncle on my father's side being like, I'm your uncle. Like, right. I would just be like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, are we going to get coffee? Like, what do you want to do? You know what I mean? Like, but I guess in terms of, like, as a human being, it causes conflict within you. Because then you're like, should I have more pride in this other part of me? Should I be identifying more, you know? And, like, I didn't even think about that stuff until, again, like, till I moved to L.A. And then there is a greater, you know, world culture. Not to say that, like, it's not as big of a melting pot as New York City, clearly, because L.A. is a much more segregated city.
It's easier to do that there.
Right. But at least there are different cultures. There are people from other. There is an internationalism that is just non-existent.
How'd you fit in Marietta? I don't think I ever really asked you that.
Dog, it was weird. Like, It was fine enough. Like, I feel like middle school is probably the best time in anyone's life. And I say that because you are...
Worst for me.
Really?
It was terrible.
Really? Except high school, I think...
one year that I lived in India, that was incredible.
Yeah.
Because I was reflected back in the world.
Yeah. Okay. See, that's interesting. Because I'll say that in middle school... elementary is the most innocent for anyone for the most part. There are, you know, incidences of like someone... some dude smacking, some little boy smacking a girl's butt, but not really understanding what it is.
Yeah.
Or like some weird bout of racism, but the kid is just like saying something that their parents said and not understanding it.
Because they didn't know what else to
call me. Speaking of which, in elementary school, a boy named Majdi, of all names, called me a nigger and then kicked me in the balls. And I was like, you're like the last person that should be doing this.
That might be poop face.
Yeah.
That might be. He got called poop face when he was a kid, which I think is the funniest insult that is, ever.
I mean, but I get it. Oh, like, it's very. Oh, yeah.
It's hysterical. It's
like, yeah.
I called him Carrot Top. He called me poop face. And I felt like that was not a proportional response. I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Who wants to eat poop?
That is so fun. Maybe he's like, I love poop.
And you're
like,
oh, I don't think that was
he won. He went for the win. That's what you do. He's a champion, this kid.
But I personally, like, elementary school is fine. Middle school, again, I think is the most exciting because I think it's like, I mean, not to get too weird, but it's like when you start, like, there's like your sexual discovery and you're like really starting to get into girls. I feel like dudes is like, these are my boys. Like, it's not just like, that's Mark and Danny and we're friends. It's like you actually, like, you get like a group of friends that you're like, you get
an identity.
Yeah, you get an identity. You're like, this, like, I don't know. I think there's just so much excitement in that time because it's such a leap, you know, from childhood to not manhood, but puberty is such a big thing, you know. And then high school is just, I feel like people just so badly wanting to be an adult. And I personally hated it. I hated 99% of the people I went to high school with. Like, I'm friends with a few of them still and we talk, but like, I just like... where I went to school, I was raised in like a, you know, pretty black neighborhoods, or, you know, you can say lower income or whatever. But my mom had us bus to the white high school.
Oh,
and so like, it's just like, I was like this poor kid. And then there was 12 black people in the school essentially. And all of them were just super well off for the most part. Sorry, my nose is itching. So they all had like nice clothes and like, I know this is going to sound like such a crazy thing to even compare myself to, but like they all had authentic jerseys, which you have to understand in high school is that's currency. So it's like dudes wearing an authentic Randy Moss jersey versus me, who, no exaggeration, was wearing a knockoff Mark Burnell jersey.
Oh my God.
But still trying to fit in. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that was my high school experience. And it's like... you hear these, and you usually hear it from, like, you know, coons who are like, it's like the dudes who are like, black girls just don't like me. When it's like a black dude, it's like, black girls just don't like me. It's like, no, they like you fine. You're just an idiot. You know what I mean? Like, but when I was in high school, it wasn't that black people didn't like me, because I did have black friends. It was just that it was that weird socioeconomical disconnect that made me be like, oh, I can't relate to these people. Right. And then like you're with white people and you're like, I really can't relate to these people, you know? So it's like, I ended up hanging out with like weird skater kids and like and poor kids. That's essentially what my high school experience came down to, is like a boy named JW who I was friends with, who was so white trash that his mom had a life-size poster of Kevin Nash taped on their front door.
Wrestler.
Wow. Yeah, like just crazy stuff like that. And then like, you know, just like, you know, the white girls that you're like, she's gonna get pregnant by a black dude. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah, those are the people I was hanging out with, you know? And then like my friends who were like skateboarders and stuff. And then like I tried playing sports for a little bit, and it's like, if you know me, like, I'm okay at basketball. But like, I was like, should I play football? And then like, I thought about it and I was like, but then I could only really be a punter. And like, that's just no respect, like, on any level.
So when did it shift? Was it college? Was it LA?
Oh, I didn't go to college. So I became real introspective once I graduated high school. So I graduated I took, you know, a few months off. Then I finally applied to school. I applied to the Savannah College of Art and Design. Got in, moved there for like, got in.
That's no joke to get into Savannah School.
No, and at the time, they only, it was literally just, because now they have two locations. They have one in Atlanta too. And like, so when I got in, it was just Savannah. It was like a big deal. I got down there. I was there for 3 days. I was like, I hate this. My didn't tell my mom I was coming back. Just showed up on her doorstep. And she was like, you got to start paying rent. It was like, understandable. And then like, I worked at this used bookstore with this dude named Burr, who was, and he was like 34 or 35. But he was re-enrolled in college. He kind of did the same thing as me. Right. He was like, he took time off and like just lived his life. And he was the one who like really got me into things. He was just like, you know, you should read Kierkegaard, but read about every, he's like, I know you're Christian, but read about every religion. Read about, you know, he's the one who told me to read The Power of Myth. Like, just really got me into thinking about the world.
So he almost became like your,
he was like, yeah, he was like my sensei and my mentor, everything.
That's awesome.
Yeah, got me, like, he was the first person who was like, his name was Burr Osinek.
Shouts to Burr Osinek, man.
Absolutely. His wife, Tracy, me and him are still friends on Facebook. I'll hit her up every once in a while and say, hey. They were the first people I met that were super into cats, and I thought that was weird, like, as a pet. Like, because I don't think I had ever met anyone really. I was just like, you have a, just a cat living in your house? Like, I remember my freshman year French teacher, her name was Miss Kelly. She got me suspended because I made fun of her because she told me she owned three cats, and I was like, that's weird. And then she said, and she was like, oh, yeah, and, you know, they're indoor cats. And I was like, oh, what does that mean? And she was like, oh, they don't go outside. I was like, wait, you have these animals in your house, and they've never seen the light of day? And she was like, no. And I was like, so you just have these hostages in your house? Like, I just couldn't, I couldn't let it go because I didn't know cats weren't supposed to play outside. I just found out, you know, as like a 15-year-old boy or whatever. And I still think it's weird. I still think
but
the cat thing is
suspended
weird.
For that?
Because I like really went in. I was just like, it's weird that like you have these prisoners. Like, yeah. Well, she hated me. She hated me. Like, she would literally, she, anytime. So your boy switched to German, you know, soon after that. But hated high school. Marietta was fine. And then when I got to LA, it's like, even then I felt like LA was weirdly trying to find myself. Like, when I met Akash, like, I still wasn't 100% comfortable in who I was. And not that, like, not that I couldn't, like, function or was like, what do people think of me? But I still feel like
there's a difference, though. How old are you?
Yeah, I was, when me and him met, I was 24, 23, 24. Like,
yeah. I mean, please.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm only now. Like, I've been saying this a number of times as I've started to do press for the Magicians and stuff and, like, go on talk shows and stuff. And, like, I feel so grateful that this is happening now.
Yeah.
When I feel like, and I'm not 100% comfortable in my skin, but I'm definitely a lot more comfortable in my skin where if you ask me questions, I know how to say I don't know.
Right, exactly.
Which was a huge thing that I didn't know how to say 5 years ago.
Me too.
I would have been like, well, this is, and it was.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually got into a huge, I had a lot of trouble in Jackie when I would do that because I would get, they would, like, a director would say, give me a note. And I, because I was too afraid to say, I don't know, because I was putting my pressure to be further than I was.
Right.
I was like, just went and did the scene, not really knowing what they said.
Right.
And then they would be like, what happened? And I was like, what do you mean? Didn't I do it? And they were like, I think we got to move on then. Maybe you're not going to. And then I screwed myself because then they would just be like, well, this is the best he's going to give us. So
right.
Let's just move forward.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I just been
I
like,
don't know. It's so liberating.
Dog, it's the best. It's just like if we just all admit we're stupid, life is so much better.
It's my anthem.
But that's, I mean, going back to what you were saying, Arjun, like that's, and I've just, I mean, literally within like the last year and a half or so really been like, oh, okay. It's okay to not know everything.
That's a big step. That's like a big transition.
Well, and it's okay to like feel, it's not only okay, but it's like human. I remember recently I had I was talking to somebody and I was like expressing a vulnerability or an insecurity about something and they were sharing in it. And I was like, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's so like liberating when we actually voice it. Cause then people will say, oh yeah, I'm like that too. And you can be like, oh.
You know what it's like? It's like talking about going to therapy in public. Like, I started going and like.
I just started going.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, what is.
I've been
it's
this like 5 years. What up, folks? I winning.
But like, cause I had, you know, I had like family tell me. Finally, and I'm not gonna say who just because I don't want to put them on blast, but like they're like, I go and it's fine. And I was like, I don't know, because like I had a really big thing, and the family member I was talking about initially, you get, as a creative type, you start getting afraid that it's going to stifle your creativity. Yo. You're like, if I fix myself, then I'm not
meditation
funny.
I was terrified of for yeah. the longest, because like, if I get happy, I'm not funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so yeah. interesting. Have you, and so what has that been your experience, or have you noticed?
No, it's just, I find myself being more liberated to think about the things I want to think about. Cause then I'm like, oh, I'm not scared. Cause like, I mean, real talk, like I had, and I still have anxiety, and I, you know, I think everyone weirdly, especially in America, USA, America clearly, suffers from a form of depression. I don't necessarily think it's chemical all the time, but I think our lifestyles definitely dictate in a way, we are dictated in a way that we have to suffer from it.
And I think it's because we're set up in a construct of society where no one can ever be enough. You have to right. be prettier. You have to be more fit. Yeah. You have to be this. You're not making enough money.
Absolutely.
You can never be enough.
Right. Absolutely. And so, like, again, I think everyone fights those things, but now that it's like, now that I know that I have that, you know, sometimes you just need a name for something. And once you have that name,
you can compartmentalize
You can be like, okay, that's what that is. I can analyze it as that. Yeah, exactly. Compartmentalize it. And then you're like, oh, okay, but now I want to think about this joke. You know what I mean? Right. And it's like, it's just so much, more liberated.
Actually, I mean, because I used to feel, because I've never been someone that liked drugs or never really wanted to yeah. take that. I mean, I smoked a little weed and I drink.
Tight. 420, 420. I don't even smoke.
But it was funny, like, I don't do anything. I don't even drink that much anymore. Yeah. And I'm just like, and I was in New York and I was at NYU and I was around everything.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't interested in it. But I felt like this really weird pressure from like the artists that were like, whoa, it expanded my mind and I can like yeah. see the world now. And I remember having a conversation with Edie, who had been sober for like 25 years mm-hmm. at the point. And she was like, and we were just, that kind of came up. And she was like, you know, it's really interesting. Gary Oldman, who was deeply addicted for a long time.
Yeah.
He wrote an article about this saying, hey, as soon as I became clear, that's when I became a better artist.
Right.
Because I had clear clarity then, like, to approach it. And it's such right. a powerful misconception.
Yeah.
Like, sold to artists.
Right.
That you need to be messed up in right. order to create art.
Yeah. Because I remember my uncle, who was, like, who now just, like, is just whatever. Just big and, like, just all he does is eat now. But I remember when I was, like, 13, he was living with us after he got out of jail. And he's... I need to preface this with that he is literally a musical genius. You can hand him any instrument and play him a song and then say, play that song on this. And within 5 minutes, he can do it. And I've wow. seen him do it a million times. It's crazy. He's a genius. But that being said, had he just had the clarity to focus on that, mm-hmm. he would be, who knows what he could be. But he used to always say, he's like, yeah, man, I smoke weed. And this is like the only way I can do music and this and that. And I just remember being a kid and being like, this smells terrible. Like, I remember the first few times I smelled weed, I was like, what? You're just smoking dog poop. Like, this is what it smells like. Like, you set it on fire. But anyway, like, I just remember being sold that. And then, like, I tried to do it, like, later on. I think I was, like, 23 or something. I was like, yeah, I'm going to get into weed. Right. I'm a weed dude.
LA, and LA I tried it. Strong pull for weed.
Huh?
LA loves. I've never seen a place yeah. love weed like LA.
And I was like, I'm one of these guys now. Watch me eat this edible. You know, like, just like, and then just like.
Fit in, right? It's all coming from like.
That, but like, honestly thinking that, I was like, maybe something will come of it. And I remember all I did was watch TV.
Right.
And ate like a chicken casserole. Like,
I always get told that, like, people like, yo, man, all these artists smoke weed. You should smoke weed. I'm like, I'm good. If I can't do it like this, I don't need to do it.
Yeah, because it just means nothing. It yeah. just, all of it means nothing.
It's like taking, even if it works, it's like taking steroids. Like, I don't want to do that. Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
You are, I don't know how to word this question. It's just interesting. You're pretty militant. You're wearing a Black Panthers hat right now.
Yes.
But your friend circle is pretty diverse.
Yeah.
The only girlfriend I've seen you with wasn't Black.
She was right.
White and something else.
White and Mexican, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'll say it. You don't need her name spoken here. Anyways, how do you, like, what is, how do you actually feel about this stuff? Are you, like, really that militant? And then really?
I absolutely am. And I think that, number one, I think everyone should be. Because
militant
I think.
About what?
I think you should be militant about equality. And I feel that there's with everyone, and I'm not making this an All Lives Matter thing because it's just not that. But what I am saying is that as a black person in this country, we are unjustly treated, we are unjustly murdered, we are unjustly paid. The black woman in this country is the most undervalued thing that exists to me. Now,
for your opinion.
In my opinion, yes.
To you.
Oh yeah, sorry. Thanks. Okay, there we go. And that being said, I think that it's important to fight for what's important to you. Even though I just said important twice in a row, but I think it's I don't think being militant in your beliefs of equality and being militant in your beliefs that we should be treated as equals impedes on anybody else's lifestyle. Me saying that black people are important in this country shouldn't affect how me and you are friends. I say that because I feel that you are very militant in your beliefs.
Super.
And I think that I'm also sick of living in a world where everything needs to be passive. It's like I saw when these Black Lives Matter protesters jumped on stage when Bernie Sanders was giving a speech in Seattle, and there was this late night talk show host who's a black dude who said, "Black lives matter, but so do black manners." And I was like, we don't need to sit in the back anymore and wait to be called on. Like, and I feel that way for everyone. Like, if as a minority in this country, you need to stand up for who you are and stand up for your people and say, like, we are treated wrong, we are being killed, we are being underpaid, we're not being fed. And meanwhile, everyone else, especially the white men in this country, clearly have it the best. But we're just sitting back and watching things happen. And I've never been that person. I've never been someone who's just like waiting for my opportunity. And I feel that same way in my career. I feel that same way in my family. And as someone who, going back to what you were saying, I believe in the community more than the individual. And I think that the only way to heal the individual is to heal the community and vice versa.
I'm going to ask you this about the term militant. Because
yeah.
The thing that I hear when I hear militant is then oftentimes militant then no longer is as open or open
right.
to dialogue, open to conversation. I think the part of what, you know, like I'm someone that I don't think it's a win when protesters shut down Donald Trump rallies.
Okay.
Because I think that you should protest it. But when you shut down a rally, you're infringing on other people's free speech, which I think then goes to what you start becoming what you hate. So I think there's ways in which to be protesting and ways in which to be passionate and active that I think that are. So I'm wondering when you do find your militancy.
It sounds like
you really are still very open with.
Well, that's the thing. I feel, and I'm speaking for me personally, but when I use the word militant or when you say the word militant, I mean it in the sense that I have a strong conviction and I'm not here to fight or punch you if that's what it comes to because someone, again, is disrespecting you or is treating you unfairly. But I think you can be a militant personally and be open to a conversation. But I think for me, it's someone who has conviction, who strongly believes in what they're saying and hopefully has the knowledge to back it up. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that, like, if you came at me with, like, every single fact and figure and number that I could sit here and, toe-to-toe with you. Yeah. But I do know, the things I know well. And again, as a community, you can see what's happening. And you can see what's happening in the black community. You can see the ways in which we are poisoned, and we are, you know, raped and killed and everything in between. And you can say that for the Indians in this country. You can say that for the Native Americans in this country.
I think we have it pretty easy.
Yeah, I mean, you have it easier than us, clearly. But what I'm saying is that, like, there's no minority in this country that has it well. And
except for the Jews.
I was going to say, and we're going to have to cut that out, clearly. But,
are we?
I mean, I guess we don't have to. But
it's jobs.
I mean, I will say this about this, moving past this, if I may. unless you. Moving past it to the thing that I'm interested in from when we talk about diversity, and I think that the thing that I hope for and will advocate for is that I think it gets very singular, and you're not speaking to this at all. But for example, I think that the Oscar so white thing became very problematic for me as a person of color, but that's not black. That whole conversation came black and white. And I was like, Hold up a second. But what about the fact that, and I didn't feel a ton of support from other black people regarding South Asians. And I haven't seen a lot of support from South Asians and East Asians to the black community. And that's something that I would like to see change. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm speaking very specifically to one instance, which is in Hollywood with regard to casting.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
And reflection in that standpoint. But that's something that I would like to see change more as we see that we are all in this together, that it's not just, like, that was hard to watch.
Right.
That the Oscar so white thing became just black and white.
Right.
And Chris Rock had a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
I mean, specifically.
Well, and absolutely. And this isn't a knock and this isn't a criticism, but at the same time, the Oscar so white thing sprung from black people getting on Twitter and saying something. You know what I mean? So
sure,
I'm not.
But there's an Asian flux right now because they're doing that. And I'm just hoping that there's the same. Like, I would like to see, and I was someone that supported the whether it was black people coming on Twitter or not, I was definitely a part of that conversation.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And so I think that I don't know that you can say that. I mean, maybe the hashtag started because of the Twitter thing, but the conversation was being sprung by a lot of
people. Absolutely. But I mean, like, the hashtag is what took it to that next thing.
It's called Oscar So White because of the hashtag.
Right.
Sure, but the conversation was around lack of
diversity. Right, the conversation was absolutely around. So I'm just saying that, like, in that moment, for using that as the example, it just happened to be that black people talked about it the most. Now, I do agree with you that absolutely it needed to expand. Because at the end of the day, like, you know, you work in Hollywood, Akash works in Hollywood, I work in Hollywood. We only see a few brown faces everywhere we go, and it's usually on an audition for a brown dude of some sort. So absolutely the conversation needs to expand. And
well, also when you're talking about whitewashing, I mean, just the way that they are casting just like blatantly for like the East Asians have had it real hard right now.
Yeah, it's
these
crazy.
Last couple, I mean, it's just
crazy.
Insane what's happening. That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
But I think that there comes a point for sometimes where it becomes that the black community will feel at because they are experiencing. It's hard to quantify this and say the most oppression, but that's how I'm going to phrase it at this moment.
Right. Yeah. No, say it.
They sometimes it becomes singular, and therefore it's like not matter about other things.
Right.
And therefore, that it's not coalition building.
Right.
And that's where I would say, hey, we are all in this together.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, what we're really talking about is a power structure that is dominated by white, heterosexual, older men.
Right.
Protestant men.
Right.
That are able-bodied and have some level of aesthetic looking. Right?
Right.
Because I'm a strong proponent of intersectionality. That is the intersection of power.
Right.
In the country. So everyone that's not that, to me, is we are all a community.
Right.
And that's just the only thing that I would say that I would love to keep seeing shift.
Right. And I think more of that will happen. But I also will say that, again, as a black person in this country, that I personally feel, and I think a lot of people feel this, is that we are never going to get helped and we are never going to get rescued. And so there comes a point where if it's us yelling the loudest about something and it seems selfish, then it's just going to have to be that sometimes, because it's just we are, you know, our history in this country is different than everybody else for the most part. I mean, we definitely have the
Native Americans.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. There's one or two other groups that can maybe, you know what I mean?
And maybe if you want to talk about the Chinese with their interim. And
right, exactly.
I mean, there's
that's you know, was it 50 years compared to, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so there's this attitude that it's like it really is us against them a lot of the times. And I'm not saying that's healthy. I'm not saying that it helps the most. I'm not saying any of that. But like when, and again, for me, it's like when I see that wrong in the world, it becomes personal. And like a lot of times you do just shut things out. And I think it's the same thing. You see it a lot now with like feminism. And it's like, that's the argument now too. It's like, is there white feminism versus feminism, right. you know? And I just believe that with everyone. And again, like granted, again, like I was saying that like the Oscars So White thing was like just kind of a black thing that took off. But, you know, I personally believe that we're all selfish in our community, sadly.
But I'm going to say this. It's also an employ for, look, India was ruled by England for so many hundreds of years.
Absolutely.
Because they would, as soon as someone was become a problem, they would split the area up and give him a kingdom.
Right.
And I think that it serves that power structure when people then say, instead of it's not just people of color, it's black people. And then excluding the other people of color, like Latino men that are out getting, or right. men and women, Indian Absolutely. Men and women, East Asian women. It goes and serves, it helps them.
But, oh yeah, I'm not arguing. I'm on your side on that. Right. I'm just saying the way I'm just saying the way we have it set up right now, sadly, is that in any community, I think once we see that wrong to us, it automatically gets shut out. Because I think that if it were Latino men who started Oscar So White, we would be having the same conversation. We'd be like, why aren't you really talking about us?
I don't think
that
the American media would have allowed that conversation to be. That conversation, it's always, when it comes to race relations in this country, right. it is white versus black.
Right, absolutely. Because America is set up to be white versus black. Exactly. And that's the way white people have set it up. Is that there's us being white people, and then there is them. And
is that it's white and then everybody else.
Right,
that's
but that's
the difference. But like, because blackness was Irish people as well. In that construct of black versus white, it was white versus anyone. And then so Irish people that were part of blackness. And then it's, you know, Chinese people were part of that. You know what I mean?
That's right.
It's more of an expansive thing of people of color in my head space.
Right. And it should be. But I mean, again, just the way this country was originally set up, I just think that, like,
well, because it was also then, I mean, it was Native Americans first,
right? But so also, but the problem is, I think, is that as people got here, as America expanded, it was white versus black, right? But as people showed up, they're like, oh, but I'm not black. I'm this. I am Latino. I am Indian. I am all these things. So then that separation is now part of the bigger separation of white and black. And so because of that, black people will forever, I don't know, in my terms, feel alone until there is that acceptance. Because it's not, you know, like, and in the same way that it's like, if you're Indian, you're not going to be like, I'm black. You're Indian. In the same way that if I'm black, I'm not Indian. You
sure,
know,
but
like,
that's not what I'm saying. I don't need to identify as black to then support and be an advocate for. And
right, okay, but that's what I'm saying. And you don't need to be. But what I'm saying is that when that conversation happens, when it's white versus black, and the when blackness being anything other than white is what they mean, the powers that be. But we're constantly separating ourselves anyway, instead of just being like, okay, you're saying it's us versus you. Let's just get on it. Well,
that's what I'm saying, that we need to shift. And I think
right, okay, that's
can.
What, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying. But I'm agreeing. You were saying
okay,
the same
yeah, yeah.
thing. We're
yeah,
saying,
yeah.
That, yeah, there's a separation of the what they are, the us versus them.
Right.
And I'm saying that the us versus them is really all of us.
Right.
Because if you're getting shat on and you can't, like, the only way for me to succeed is to just, like, to accept whiteness, it's still yeah. buying into that power
right,
structure.
Absolutely.
It's not allowing for the power structure
absolutely.
To shift and be more egalitarian.
Yeah. I mean, are we going to date white women after this? Is that what we're coming? are we going to find some white?
I literally almost tweeted this morning. I was saying, let's call this Singh's theorem. The more a person complains about white people, the whiter his girlfriend is.
It's usually true. Usually.
I know
a few. A few? I mean, oh my God.
Oh, right. There was
some comics? I mean, all of them.
We were going to talk about where I'm from and why.
Okay, yes, yes. Sorry, I want to hear
it. It's also been an hour and 40 minutes, so I want to thank the two people that are still listening.
Oh, it's 100% two episodes. There's no way this is one episode.
Do we do that still?
Are we doing a 100-minute episode? Who's going to give a fuck?
I don't...
We'll do 40 minutes about technology or whatever, and then the rest will be about, you know, black people. Or whatever the fuck we've been talking about for the past hour.
All right, this is two episodes. Then if you want to ask, go ahead. I mean.
Okay, this is only my second time meeting you. Is it Arjun or Arjun?
It's actually Arjun.
Arjun. It's a hard J or G sound.
Yeah, it's more of actually what I find that's problematic for non-Indians to say because they're just sounds that aren't said.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, of course.
It's not like it's a very forward A. For, okay. Like when you think of A in this country or in English, it's ah.
Yeah. Right?
So a lot of people go ah, R, yeah. Arjun. But it's like further back, it's more of like a UH.
Okay.
So it's like an Arjun.
Arjun. Like Arjun. Arjun.
I say the used Arjun. I think I say Arjun more than Arjun.
And it's Jun.
Okay.
It's Jun.
Arjun. It's like Arjun. Arjun.
Arjun.
Arjun.
And then if you just like, then you just saw it. And then if you probably Arjun, then you let it go. And it's just Arjun.
Okay. It'll just take me a second. Because, I mean, honestly, I was friends with Akash for, 7 years?
Yeah.
And literally a year and a half ago, he's like, hey, it's not. Because I've been calling him Akash for years. And he's just like, it's actually Akash. And I was like, oh.
I don't care. I grew up in the South. I was Akash my whole life.
Right. But
we have this discussion all the time. I don't care what you call me.
No, and that's how I feel. I pronounce it. Exactly. And I feel the same way because I've had people
call
me. I care
a little bit what you call me.
Really?
Yeah, no, we've had this disagreement for a long time.
I'm not going to like beat you up for
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to insist you try a little. And if you just can't do it, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to make you, I'm going to ask of you that you expand a little bit past you.
No, absolutely. And it's your name. I feel like it really, your name is the only thing you really have in this world. So I just got sick of growing up and people being like, Yasir, Yasir, yeah. And I was just like, okay, just say whatever you want. And then I'll just tell you it's Yasir. And if you remember good,
so
if you don't.
Not ya.
Yeah. And I think it's more just an American pronunciation because of my mom than what the proper pronunciation is. Yeah. But anyway, so this is my second time meeting you, but there's a certain like swag in your voice that like, I was like, it seems like New York, but I can't really place it. It doesn't seem like Jersey or Philly or anything. So I've been trying to decode it and I just need to know.
I mean, actually it's funny cause I grew up in Tampa, Florida. And
you were close.
Jesus.
You were close.
So I grew up in Tampa, Florida. Yeah. I lived in India for a year. And then I call Brooklyn home.
Okay.
And I think because this is what I call home.
Yeah.
I've adopted the vocal mannerisms and tonality and aesthetic. Is that even a thing?
Yeah. But I mean,
that's why most people I sound like I'm from New York. Because me, aside from the word y'all, and the fact that I say sir and ma'am a lot, and and like have that, those are the only vestiges of like Southern that have stuck with me. Because I think with my identification as this being home, this is where I started to speak more.
Yeah,
And then I mean, the swag thing probably is just combined with that and like the vernacular that I use, and like I've always had more fun. Like I think it's fun to like play with words and play with stuff like that, and so that's why I've like enjoyed that sort of thing.
He means to say success. He means to say he got that swag from success and being recognized on the streets.
I mean, it doesn't hurt.
Television credits.
It doesn't hurt.
He's talking about, I like playing with words. It's like, stop. if we go on your IMDb page, we'll figure out pretty quickly why you have such swag. Yeah. Meanwhile, me and Akash over here with these high-pitched voices, these high-pitched. We only on MTV voices.
I'm killing it, not MTV.
You are. Okay. And wait, you got a pilot too. What are we talking about?
Why are you talking like you have the lowest number of Twitter followers out of the three of us?
But this is like, okay, perfect example. I woke up this morning and said I had like 50 new followers. And I was like, what happened overnight? And it's literally like the names are like Kelsey 06923, Jane 06923, Rebecca. It's just like all robots that follow me. That's why it's like if I tweet something.
Robots follow people with followers.
Nah, man, it ain't like that. Either way.
You know, there's not 20,000.
Guys, can we stop complimenting each other and just end this goddamn podcast?
All right, we're ending this podcast, guys. This was Yasir. Where can people get at you so that they're not robots following you?
Twitter at Yasir _ Lester. It's YASSIR _ LESTER. Same thing on Instagram. Hit me on the Snapchat. Send me them nudes. Like, I'm on there. There ain't no nudes. I thought that was the point. I'm talking to myself on there.
Guys, we have a long drill that I'm just going to breeze through. Share our shit on Facebook, please.
Five star the podcast, you stupid goddamn idiots. Why? Comment, bruh. That's all you gotta say. Bruh. .. Five stars.
Anything that
bang.
You want to say.
No, because that's nice. Because it's like mind blowing. Like I got to see what they're talking about.
Bruh.
Yeah. You also know they're like. I mean, like if you see a bruh, they're like they listened.
Oh yeah.
All
yeah.
the way.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they listened to all 103 yeah. minutes. All right.
Yeah, we're gonna come at you next week. I don't know whether that'll be the community episode or something else because I don't know when we're dropping this, but we love you. And we can't wait for you to listen to next week's episode. I'm Arjun.
I'm Akash.
We'll catch you next week.
God bless.